Hello, everybody. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion, and we thank you all for joining us. It's Sunday, June 14th, 2020, and this is the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we're very glad you could join us today. We will start with our morning prayer.
Mrs. Eddy's words about angels. Page 306 of Miscellaneous Writings. When angels visit us, we do not hear the rustle of wings, nor feel the feathery touch of the breast of a dove, but we know their presence by the love they create in our hearts. Oh, may you feel this touch. It is not the clasping of hands, nor a loved person present. It is more than this. It is a spiritual idea that lights your path. The psalmist says, "He shall give his angels charge over thee." God gives you his spiritual ideas, and in turn they give you daily supplies. Never ask for tomorrow. It is enough. The divine love is ever-present help, and if you wait, never doubting, you will have all you need every moment. What a glorious inheritance is given to us through the understanding of omnipresent love. More we cannot ask, more we do not want, more we cannot have. The sweet assurance is the peace be still to all human fears, to suffering of every sort. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Our watching point.
Watch number 62. Watch lest in making one perfect square, you believe that you are doing all that God expects of you. There are bed quilts that are made by fastening together knitted squares. After you have made one individual perfect square, or have seen yourself as God's perfect four-square man, you must extend this recognition to all mankind until you see them all perfect, bound together as one great family of God's perfect ideas. This effort alone fulfills the command, love your neighbor as yourself. This effort might be called the reduplication or extension of your idea of man as God's perfect child. When you see all of God's children linked together in one harmonious spiritual family, this causes your consciousness to act like a spiritual comforter, which you can throw upon mortals and with which you can heal them with the warmth of divine love, thus lifting their lives higher than their poor thought models would allow, as science and health says. End quote.
Thank you. We've been getting an echo. And if anyone has their computer on, it causes an echo and you will be muted. So sometimes you don't realize you're making noise or other kinds of noises. If you're being muted, that's because we're getting interference. Sharon can tell when that's happening. So, all right, that was a beautiful watching point. Who would like to comment on that?
Well, after the testimony given on Wednesday about this watch and their appreciation of it, it really caught my heart, and I used it all the time when I would think about things that were going on in our country, especially these horrible divisions. And just that picture was really, gave an image that was very helpful.
Thank you very much. This is our job, the blanket of love over everyone.
And when we see people acting ungodlike, what's the answer to that? what is our job to do?
Correct our own thought about them and about the situation.
Right. And?
Know that only God is there.
And?
See them as the perfect child of God.
We separate the error from the person. Recognize that the error is impersonal. And we destroy the error in our own consciousness. And we love the hell out of whoever happens to be there.
You can have glorious results with that. It's interesting. Someone emailed me this week with that question, how it's so hard not to get angry or upset at what we see on the news sometimes. Well, part of it is turn the news off, but I've learned if someone is
being used,
yeah, being in an ungodly way, I see the error as almost like a cloud or a mist just hanging over their heads. It's not them. It's animal magnetism. And that way you can get after it and destroy it and leave that child of God in a perfect state. Free him from it. This is what you do to your own thought. Once you personalize it and see it as a person, you're cooked. And you'll see it everywhere, in every person, and you'll see it in yourself. Animal magnetism is not person, place, or thing, Mrs. Eddy says. Error, evil is not. Nor is good. Good is God. Good is reflection. No man is good, and no man is bad. You were as good. What did Jesus say? Call no man good, but your Father in heaven. The same about evil and error. If you personalize it, it will, then you can't handle it, and you'll either hate it or you'll feel sorry for it, or you'll and it just there's no end to it.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, it ties in so beautifully with the watch, this watching point, because we start off with the one imperfect square, then we don't have the perfect comforter to cover everyone.
Yeah.
I love the sense of it. It has to be perfect all the way.
Yes. And thank God, we have this wonderful science that all are included. As Gary read Wednesday, we are all of one blood. God does not see color, race, gender. He loves all his children equally. And please don't identify yourself that way, because then, you can get in difficulties. Again, you've personalized. Don't even see it. We saw this little clip of Morgan Freeman, and he's being interviewed.
Being interviewed by Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace was asking him, well, do you like having a Black History Month? Morgan Freeman said no. Morgan Freeman asked him, you want a White History Month? The guy said, well, I'm Jewish. So Morgan Freeman asked him, you want a Jewish History Month? And he said no. And he asked Morgan Freeman, he says, well, what do we do about racism? And Morgan Freeman said, stop talking about it. Stop calling me a Black man, and I'll stop calling you a white man.
Isn't that true? I mean, yes. Really, let's
stop talking
about all people. That's the truth about us.
We're all one with God.
We are. And the more we talk about it and go into it, and that includes, the history too. And Mrs. Eddy talks about it in the lesson. This is such a beautiful lesson that Amanda wrote on angels and subject, God the Preserver of Man. And in citation 9 in Science and Health, all forms of error support the false conclusion that there is more than one life. That material history is as real and living as spiritual history. That mortal error is as conclusively mental as immortal truth. And that there are two separate antagonistic entities and beings, two powers, namely spirit and matter, resulting in a third person, mortal mind, who carries out the delusions of sin, sickness, and death. Delusions, my definition, a fixed, dominating, or persistent false mental conception, resistant to reason with regard to actual things or matters of fact. When you're deluded, you think something is real that's not real and you argue for it. Now, if you want to have a material history, let's all just think about it. We're just terrible. Oh my goodness, everything was just awful. It was just terrible. And let's talk about it and think about it and dwell on it. And I say, okay, if that helps you, go ahead. But you know darn well it doesn't. You're just putting logs on the fire. Our history is spiritual. And even throughout, no matter how bad you might think your material history is, God has been with you, and it's led you up to a certain point. And can't you see that? This is something, I mean, Luann talks about a lot in her testimonies. Luann had the human sense, a terrible past. But what'd you do, Luann?
I had to work through forgiveness, for one thing. But then I had to just let it go. There is, you know, that past doesn't belong to me at all.
And that was the right answer. And that's just what freed you. It doesn't belong to you.
I don't identify with that at all.
That is so wonderful. She is the daughter of the King. You all are sons and daughters of the King. Claim it. Your ancestry, Mrs. Eddy says, what does she say your ancestry is?
The beautiful, pure, and good.
Beautiful, good, and pure. Yes. I cannot claim any better ancestry than that. I mean, my human past was kind of a mixed bag, but you know, some good, some maybe not so good. But I prefer just to say, okay, I'm a daughter of the King. My ancestry is the beautiful, the good, and the pure. All right, let's go with that one, and let's think about that. And that frees you of any past bad inheritance or terrible things that happened to you. You know, going through the law case, being sued, all that, that wasn't always a bowl of cherries. And after it was all over, one thing Bruce used to tell us and say, and we would tell ourselves, get over it. Get over it. Don't dwell on it. It's a new day. Don't drag it around with you. What happened to Lot's wife when she looked back?
Turned to salt.
And what does God say about the past?
Give it to
God
him.
Regret the past.
Give he it, requires it.
Give it up to him. And after a while, if you really work on this, this is the renewing of your mind. And after a while, those things that were so grievous will just fade away. And I mean, sometimes maybe you still remember them, but they do no longer have that sting and no longer the bitterness, because you're only hurting yourself. And this is true individually and collectively. And the time you could be spent with the Father, achieving great and wonderful things, you're going around and around and around with stuff that's only dragging you down.
Something Mrs. Evans used to say, if it wasn't good, it never happened, in divine mind. And yes, that helped me very much.
Yes. And it's true. Go ahead, Michael.
I just I wanted to add something, but I, with some caution to what is being said here, is just that I do understand Mrs. Eddy was involved in, I think it was with prohibition, just dealing with wanting to like outlaw alcohol, and then also with women's voting rights. And I mention that just because I think we're talking about like the absolute spiritual reality, but at the same time, there was some practical work being done in this so-called material world. And I think that that distinction needs to be pointed out as well, that there has been progress and it has been made by the actual doing of whatever needed to be addressed, whether it be the rights of women or other people. And so I guess the important part is, with everything that's being said, is that it's the thinking behind what we do that is the most important foundation to what we actually do in the so-called material world.
Your point is that all of this is totally practical. The way you think correctly about things is totally practical. And because we all do have one Father. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Yeah, that's absolute. But it's also totally practical. And whatever you have to do in your so-called human experience to enforce God's law, you do it without reservation, without fear, without trepidation, because in fact, there aren't two worlds. They're in the spiritual world and in the
That's right.
material world. There's only one world. We see it materially because we see it darkly. We see through the glass darkly. But in reality, the universe is spiritual. God's creation is spiritual.
And when we
see that, we see more clearly around what is around us.
And that brings reform in every aspect. Reform, yes, absolutely. It's essential. And when you're knowing this truth, the reform comes. But if you're holding back past injustices and grievances, the reform does not come. It's in holding the truth and knowing this truth and seeing this, like the comforter blanket that we were talking about.
Did I sink to Michael's point? It's like with Plainfield, I really have benefited tremendously hearing all the history of the law case and the fights that went on and the steps taken to move out of it. And I think he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was all that Michael was saying, was that you can't pretend something doesn't happen and expect it to get fixed. So law case gives me an understanding why Christian Science went downhill over the last century. Not Christian Science, but the attendance, or whatever you want to call it, or the practice thereof. And because the way Plainfield practices is totally different than anybody else. And this is what Mrs. Eddy says in the second edition, 1878, Science and Health. And it's a little maybe different, but what she says is, quote, "The students of metaphysical healing may destroy their positions as scientists by falsehood, dishonesty, sensuality, malice, etc., in which case their practice, if they have one, becomes mesmerism and no longer metaphysics," with a capital M. "Such students can never reinstate themselves in metaphysical science except by repentance, reformation, and restitution," unquote. So she's saying that they have to recognize what they were doing wrong. Then they have to repent. They have to reform. But they also have, there has to be a payback. I mean, does that have to be in dollars and cents? No. But I think the payback is that when you see the people as spiritual, it pays back for when you didn't see them as being a spiritual person.
Well, God forbid if anyone thought I was telling everyone to just ignore this whole problem.
No, this is not pie in the sky at all.
No, this is
I mean, we can't ignore, but as the Bible, two lessons ago, it said clearly, if we repent and then we change our ways, which is obeying God's laws, he will heal our land. This, to me, that's what should be going on and what I think is going on, like where everybody the world over is recognizing what has been wrong, therefore individually as well as collectively, as well as governmental, on government levels and everything. Do recognize what has been wrong, correct it practically, and then, you know, God is here. We follow as he commands. He alone commands.
Exactly.
Thank you. And it's individual. Charity?
I think, too, Mrs. Eddy, when Michael was speaking to what she did it with her pen. She wrote and she submitted, and she was always writing about the movement for women and for equality with all people.
Yes.
With her pen.
Yes.
She was very influential in the women's suffrage movement. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And also an abolition, all of these things. She was a reformer, and we should be too. Absolutely. There should be no question about that. And we go over and over and over about repenting and changing. So please don't misunderstand that point. I wasn't making it today, mainly because what I'm talking about is rehearsing evil and error over and over and over and keeping it alive and burning. That's detrimental. And that is not helpful. If it were, I'd say do it, but it is not. And so how do you not do it? You not do it by knowing the truth and seeing there's been tremendous reform throughout the years. All of that seems to go by the wayside. There's more to be needed. So we build on that. Carol?
That's what I was going to say. It's the prayer behind it that brings along the change. It's the prayer behind it. It's the work that's done behind it. Like you just said, the reforming, the right within our own selves, and then seeing it for others and for the whole movement. But it's the prayer that has the power. It's not marching or doing anything. It's the prayer that's got the power.
Yes, and that's because God is our preserver. God is the only cause and effect. When we have God in our hearts, we can do very powerful things for mankind. This is not something that a secular government can fix. Okay? This is something that if the church would do its job, the church could fix it.
Because what other answer is there? There's no other answer. And divine science, Christ Christianity, is the answer. And it's available for every single person everywhere, without exception, all people. And I want to get into now this angel thought. It's most important in the golden text. Lillian, you want to read it?
Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Christ Jesus.
How many is 12 legions of angels?
It's thousands.
A lot.
Yeah. A legion. Is in the ancient Roman army was 3,000. To 6,000 people. So you times that by 12. It's a lot. Under what circumstances was Jesus saying this?
Right before his crucifixion.
just before his crucifixion.
They quit Gethsemane, I think, or somewhere around there.
It was right after Gethsemane. It was right as Judas was betraying him.
Peter cut off the ear of a soldier.
Yes.
Yeah. Some action.
Yes.
And it didn't work.
Jesus healed it.
That's it.
And even
whose echo is that?
I don't know.
As Judas was about to betray him, Jesus referred to him as what? Friend. So then actually, well, in this version, the Matthew version, it doesn't say, it says, behold, and one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And then, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? So what condition have you been in that could possibly be worse than this one? And the point of this whole lesson is to remember that those angels are surrounding you. That's your recourse. And as I said, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what your background is, as long as you've been, you know, living a Christly life as you know how, those angels surround you and they will take care of you no matter how severe the situation.
And this is practical. This is not pie in the sky.
No, it's not.
Maybe someday error. Kind of wishy-washy. This is practical. We are spiritual beings.
What I love about what I'm learning here too is that only God knows the heart. And there's so much dissension and accusations and this rehearsal of this history, and only God knows everybody's heart. And
yes.
And if we listen to these words or get carried away with it, which I have done in the past, it takes you down a rabbit hole. But with this, if you really turn to God, he knows the heart of everybody, and you cannot accuse or assume anything.
That's
or
right.
Decide who's going to fix what.
Yes, and that's why in all our work, it has to be the impersonal nature of it, because we don't know. Only God knows. We come to him on our knees, and just as Christ Jesus did. And he knew all this was going to happen. But there wasn't a vengeful bone in his body toward anyone, was there?
No, he couldn't have raised himself.
He couldn't have raised himself. And that's it. If you get vengeful and hateful, you won't even know the angels are around you. Joanna sent me a couple of really good things from Precepts. And if you don't have Precepts, you should probably get Mary Baker Eddy, her Spiritual Precepts by Gilbert Carpenter. We had been printing it for a while, and our friends in the BOD were going to sue us for that, so we stopped. But as far as I know, it's still available.
Yeah, it
mm-hmm.
is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some nice Keystone, paperback copies,
Keystone,
I would recommend.
Yes. It's good we get these out to everyone, that you have them. Anyway.
Because these are the practical lessons that people in her household learned by living with her.
Yeah. So Gilbert Carpenter says, this human world may be defined as a respiratory for all human, repository for all human thinking. Through it, we perceive the thinking that otherwise would be hidden, and the effects of such erroneous thinking accumulate, so that the task of disposing of it becomes greater and greater as it is left to itself. In Noah's time, the flood was typical of the action of divine mind as it entered this mortal dream, to purify it of the accumulation of false thinking. Men and women perish in this purification merely because they could not make the separation between evil and the man expressing it. This is why it is so important that you separate the evil from the man expressing it. Impersonalize it so you don't perish with this false belief. A scientific purification destroys evil and leaves man unharmed. Purifying times must come, but as the Bible admonishes, they should not hurt the oil or the wine. The flood, therefore, would have been less destructive had it resulted from more scientific work. That's what Carol was saying. It's the prayer behind it. And whether you march or not, or whatever you do, it's your prayer, it's your thought behind it. And this is why it's so important. And this is why it's so important you don't attach evil to person, not yourself, not to anyone. It's animal magnetism rearing its ugly head to believe it to be true and to fight with it. And then you have two fighting.
And nobody ever wins that fight.
No one does. I think I'm going to just tell briefly. Occasionally, I have these very, very vivid dreams. I mean, they're more than dreams. I'm not awake at the time, but they come as messages. And a while ago, I had a dream that I was driving down a beautiful country road. There were all these beautiful churches, spirals. And then suddenly I came upon this huge, huge, very dark, horrible-looking building. And I don't even know what to give the name of it. It was like the House of Horrors. It said it was...
Satan's Church.
Satan's Church. I don't like to give it the name church. It was so awful, it convulsed me. I stopped. It was just... And anyway, that woke me up. And I was like in a cold sweat. And I thought about it a lot. Because I thought, to me, those beautiful churches on the side of the road, their light seemed to be going out, that was the Christ consciousness. And as the light went out, then this other thing rose up. So not too long ago, again, I had another dream. And this was sort of taking off where that one left. And in my dream, I'd been listening to the news. And suddenly suddenly became like the voice of Darth Vader. It was like, whoa. And I could see it was some horrible hypnotic voice working. And I told, Parthens, he's our friend in Colorado. Anyway, I told him about it. And he said, well, we're going to have to go to that
dark
place. And confront it. So he came out here and we got in Jeremy's pickup truck.
In the dream.
And we went searching for this dark place. And, I had no idea where it was. And I did get the thought, because in hypnotism and an illusion, that sometimes things appear and disappear and appear and disappear. I thought, well, maybe it's been around. We just haven't been able to see it. And with that thought, suddenly this thing loomed up. And it was horrifying. But we knew we had to confront it. So we got out and we approached it, and it was hard to approach. We got through that first door, and through that first door was this horrible voice, like Darth Vader, just horrible. And it was accusing. It was the tormentor, and it was accusing, and it was particularly accusing the three men. Jeremy and Gary was with me, and Parthens. And I think it wasn't so much accusing me, mainly because first I was a woman, a female thought. Mrs. Eddy says that's more spiritual. I'd been in the practice a long time. I'd been handling these thoughts for many years. And so, but I sprouted these wings and I put the man under my wings. It was, and it was just that the 91st Psalm came to me. Secret place of the Most High. So those voices stopped attacking the men, and the men were, you know, hardly able to move because they were so fierce, accusing them of every past thing they'd ever done, every horrible, every suggestion. So then we got through the next door, at which point I was just exhausted. I was pretty much useless. And I said, look, the man had to go on without me. And what they found and what I could see, there were no people in this horrible place. It was like these huge computers, and they were droning out voices. And the voices, and this, I had this dream in the middle of the pandemic, the nameless nothing, as I like to say. So the voices were saying, you're sick, you're going to die, don't touch anything, and all was going on and on and on, and in this horrible voice. And along with that horrible voice were the cries and the anguish of people. Just unbearably so. That was the worst part of it all. And so we realized we had to dismantle, and that was the, we had to dismantle these machines, this voice. It had to come down. So Jeremy, our computer guru, he went in and he got on his knees and he just worked on this. I don't know how long it took. My dream, it was, you know, took a while, but he figured out how to dismantle it. And this whole building, and it was a huge building, there were just, I don't know how many, there were hundreds and hundreds of these machines with these voices going out the whole world over. So with every machine he dismantled, the droning voice got a little quieter, and so did the cries and the anguish of mankind. And Parthens and Gary watched him do it, and they were able to do it. So they went through the whole place, dismantling, until suddenly there was this hush, and it was over. And that song that the choir, the chorus had sung, it's called The Transfiguration, it just came into my head, and that line, will rise.
Then the reign of man.
Yes. Then the reign of man, of mind, shall commence on earth. Then the reign of mind shall commence on earth. And a man will walk transparent like some holy thing. Now, and then after that, I woke up. I forgot to say, too, in that first entranceway when the men were being so attacked, there were all these dead bodies all over the place. In other words, people had tried to approach and to dismantle this thing before, but they couldn't get past that first accusing voice.
They were murdered.
Yeah, the voice murdered them, you could say, that voice. So this, my friends, is what it is all about. It is this accusing voice. Revelation calls it the tormentor, day and night. And you see, we have been tested. Jo wrote this in her forum. We are tested. First, we had the pandemic, and everybody, fear, and the voice droning at you. Fear running rampant. Then we get tested again with our economy, our supply. Are we going to...
Everybody out of work.
Yeah, what are we going to do now? And then we get tested again with this belief of racism, that we hate each other, that we're divided, droning. I can't emphasize enough that voice and the anguish of the cries.
And the organized protests. Funded by people with an evil intent.
If you can
say something on that, I'm really sorry, but I was in that.
Mary's not.
I was a farmer, and I had no evil intent. I realize now when I talked about being in foreign politics that I misspoke. It was never, I was dragged into the sewer of politics. But the reason my sister, I had no intention, I had no idea in my life of helping anybody. I was so selfish, it was ridiculous. But my sister, for some reason, was always out to help the underdog, and which was me. She always helped me as the underdog. She protected me, you know, and somehow she taught that to me, and I am so grateful for that. So I looked out for my fellow man. We had plenty of money. That wasn't about the money. We did it because of the moral principle. It was always the moral principle to us, and nobody funded us. We spent $400 a month on phone bills out of our own pocket trying to help people. You know, so and this is where that other voice comes in, is to accuse the good people of being the bad people. We knew from, because I watched the movie Gandhi, and I had tremendous respect for Martin Luther King, but I didn't know anything about him. But they based all their things off of Jesus and peace and love. And we refused. If we were going to get beat up at a protest, we couldn't raise our hand, we couldn't raise a finger. That was our mantra. So we were the good guys, and the people on the other side called us socialists and et cetera, to paint us black and red, actually paint us red and destroy our whole character. That's all they cared about, was destroying our character, because we were trying to help blacks, women, Rainbow Coalition, Jesse Jackson, we were for president, et cetera, et cetera. Sorry.
All right. Well, and I agree, except you can't personalize the error.
And you're 100% right. The thing I forgot to add was that I didn't ever understand how we made it through all that. You want to talk about fear? I mean, we had so much fear because we were going up against these big entities, and I think there was two things. I always thought it was our moral integrity, which is a God's attribute, protected us. But now I realize that this was going on at the same time that you folks in Plainfield were going through your battles, and that's where I think the prayer comes in. Was maybe that's what made us aware to even do anything, number one. And number two, it was I totally believe now that that was a big part of the protection, because I had no God. So somebody else had a God that protected me.
Well, and
just
there
imagine,
you are.
Just imagine how effective you would have been had you had a right understanding of God.
Well, that's why I became a Christian Scientist, exactly, because I failed doing it in the material world. But the thing was, if I hadn't taken that step, I wouldn't be here.
Well, but you didn't, Mike. And God was with you through that whole time, protecting you. Those were the angels.
But
and God always does. Go ahead, please.
Yes, at a certain point, people go with what level, what state of thought they are at, the stage of thought they are at. If you don't know this, for me, is the only way to solve anything, this Christian Science way understood, that's what cuts across anything. So with people doing what they think is right, like Kara said, if you think what your motive is right, whatever form it's taken at that point, I don't think can be absolutely, you know, discarded or destroyed like that. I think it's the stages and state of thought at the time, why people do things is what matters. But yes, in the end, it's only this right understanding. Sometimes I wonder how long it took for people to understand that the world is not flat. Maybe a long time, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes.
So right now, what we need is prayer for the correct view of man to be seen the world over.
Yes.
And feel we're doing the best we can.
That's God, it.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Except that
angels.
Mrs. Eddy warns us that sometimes evil is some people's highest sense of right.
Yeah.
Because the people who are paid to throw bricks at windows and to set fire to cars
and churches
are not
They may think right.
They are not doing right.
No, it's not.
Right.
They attack synagogues.
Yeah, yes.
But the error always destroys itself. And again, not to personalize it. And you see it as coming as this voice. And that was the point of my dream. It's animal magnetism, a voice that accuses, that makes you think right is wrong and wrong is right.
And that's what mesmerism does.
That's what mesmerism does, yes. And that is based on this science, because over and over and over again, Mrs. Eddy calls it illusion, hypnotism. It's hypnotism. And just as that, even that horrible building was a hypnotism. When all this stopped and the voices stopped, the building disappeared. There was nothing left of it. The voice had stopped. It needed to be dismantled. And my point to you is you need to recognize the voice and not let it talk to you, and to recognize also the presence of God's angels with you, which are always talking, guiding, guarding you aright. And Mike, what you did, you were, it was your highest sense of good. God protected it. God led you here. And so that's something to rejoice in.
And that's the spiritual progress. That's your spiritual history, which is your real history.
Yes. And the other, we let it go. You let it go. You learn from it. You learn from it, but you let it go. And then you, all the people or whatever you think did you wrong, you let that go too, because it's just a hypnotic suggestion. Maybe they were handled by the animal magnetism. It was never true about them. And if you can do that, you will find a freedom you never knew existed. And you won't go on and on with the past. The past is over. But reform was made, has made, is being made. And what brings reform?
Change of thought.
Spiritualization of thought, yes, and the presence of God.
Preceded by repentance and...
Correct.
Yeah. Pond and purpose. And this is God's preservation of man. And it's going on continually for those who are listening to the angel voices. So anyone else? I know there were a few people.
So Michael, does that help you see what's going on here?
Well, 100%. I mean, I am separating the people from the error now, and I'm so grateful for that. But the one thing that I want to say again, reiterate, is that it's not good people being conned into throwing bricks. There's too many times when there's bad people that are throwing the bricks to make the good people look bad.
That's what we were addressing as funded, organized protests to destroy rather than making a good point.
Okay, I'm sorry. So sorry. I thought you were accusing the good people of being funded and destroying property.
Mike, of course not. Absolutely not.
Well, they're not really any good people or bad people. They're just people.
No, thank you. That's the point, too. No good, no bad.
But there are good protests, and then there are bad, destructive protests.
Yes.
And that's what And it's
riots,
the destructive riots.
Is there such a thing as peaceful arson, as someone was saying? Is there such a thing as peaceful, you know, destroying
beating
property,
people
beating people up? Is that peaceful? No, it's not.
And it doesn't make a good point. It has no principle behind it to support it. And those protests, a lot of those are funded and organized. I won't call them protests anymore. I'll call them riots.
Behind the name of protest.
But my initial question was directed to Michael from California, who spoke earlier.
Oh yeah, Michael, how are you doing?
I'm absorbing. I understand, and thank you. I just wanted to not just understand that clarity of like not dismissing error, but at the same time, dealing with it, but understanding it from the right standpoint before you deal with it.
Well, and that's very important. I wouldn't never want anyone to misunderstand. And that's one of the things of Mrs. Evans' statement. If it wasn't good, it never happened in divine mind. I wondered how in the world you could make that statement, because I knew all these things had happened to me. But I learned that we're talking about absolute, absolute. And that must be understood. So, you know, all your points are well taken. And I don't want any
Yeah, we don't want any misunderstandings.
No,
here.
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
So,
because Jesus' prayers were righteous protests of truth,
conscientious
protests of truth.
That's the only kind of protest.
And we should all have those kinds of protests.
Yes, thank you. That's right. That's our protests, okay? Yeah. Let us protest.
If people understand Christian Science, then they can know the right thing to do.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great word for protest. Thank you. That is our protests. So, well, I could go on for 5 hours over this lesson. There was so much in it. I'm sorry we didn't get to it all, but it is time. And we will end with Martha Wilcox, Angels.
Martha Wilcox. Angels are as real as any other part of God's creation. It is remarkable how often divine ideas and divine experiences appear in our human consciousness as angels, and how often we are unaware of them as being angels. In the general sense, we think of angels as disconnected from God and as external to our consciousness. But in truth or fact, angels are divine mind's powerful impressions of good appearing in the human consciousness. These angel visitants come to us as a still small voice within us. They come as great enlightenment, as an unfoldment of truth. They come as a surprising thought or conviction, as just the right thing to say or to do. As a rule, angels come suddenly, but in a timely way. They usually come as promptings or as restraining intuition. Isaiah portrayed the appearing of angels to our mentalities when he wrote, "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." Isaiah 30. To those mentalities in tune with the divine mind, these angel visitants, divine ideas or experiences, are innumerable. They are incidents of every hour and are the privileged lot of every individual. God's goodness is impartial. He does not withhold anything from us. These angels of his presence are something which we, in our ignorance, are withholding from ourselves. Miracles do not just happen. When we change our inmost thought to accord with the angels of his presence, this puts into operation spiritual law, which causes the externalization of that which from the beginning has already been bestowed.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us for a very lively roundtable today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.